Canto 16. Our poor nobility of blood, if you move men to glory in you here below, where our affections languish as they do, it never will cause me to ask, how so? Since even there, where appetites run true, unwarped in heaven, I was brought to no glory in you. For truly you wore such a mantle as will quickly shrink, if not added to, day by day, at least as much as time goes round to shear off what it's got. Thus, with the plural you, once Rome's polite touch of speech to honor Caesar, but which since has lapsed, the present Romans use it least, no doubt because they think it would evince some small thought for the empire they have ceased to pay allegiance to. I spoke again, and Beatrice, a little set apart, smiled at my honorific word, as when the lady coughed to warn the hasty heart of Guinevere, and him that wooed her then, that she knew their great secret. I spoke this. You are my father. You gave me the nerve to speak. You lift me up so that I miss no aspect of myself that goes to serve the object of increasing me. My mind is filled with sheer joy by so many streams that it rejoices further still to find it bears up without bursting at the seams. So tell me then, dear shade from which I stem, who were your ancestors? Your boyhood, how do you recall its years? Remember them for me. And Florence, not as it is now, but when it was the sheepfold of St. John, how big was it? Which were the families deemed fit for the high seats that they sat on? As coal is quickened by the merest breeze to flame, just so I saw that light take fire at my fond words, and as it grew more fair in my sight, so I heard its voice acquire yet more the sweetness of a gentle air, but not in new speech, from an older store. From that first Ave till the day that I was born, 500 times and 80 more, Mars came back to the lion in the sky to be rekindled underneath its paw. For 2 more years. And I was born like all my family members who had gone before, just where the runners reach the inner wall in your games every year. Let it suffice to hear this much about my forebears. Who they were, and whence they came exacts a price if spoken of. Silence will have to do. Just say that they were old stock. All those there between the baptistry and the old bridge, and of an age that they had arms to bear, beside those who now have that privilege, were but a fifth, yet still the blood was pure, even in humble artisans, who now reflect in every vein, you may be sure, all the surrounding villages. Yes, how much better to have all those aliens for neighbors, with their place outside your bounds, than face the knowledge of their teeming dens within your gates, enduring on your grounds the stink of those 2 crooks from out of town, Baldo and Fazio, both lawyers schooled elsewhere to skills in how to do you down. One of those swine, who had the council fooled, kept you in exile. If the popes and priests, they who fell furthest short of what they should have done, had not behaved like beasts, those cruel stepmothers to great Caesar could have been real mothers to a son. There's one grand name I know up to his neck in trade, who'd be back home where such stuff's better done, although his grandfather went bankrupt, paid in smaller coin. Pistoia's main street still would own the castle that now Florence rules, and not the Conte Guidi. Names that fill the annals of our strife and leave dark pools of blood might have remained in valleys far beyond our walls. Mixture of origin has brought us to the point where we now are, just as the body's ills often begin with bolted food. Remember how the bull, because too big, more easily will fall than any lamb which lives to keep its wool, and that a single sword, what we might call a symbol for a people unified, cuts better and cuts more than any 5. If you recall how other cities died, and others still are only just alive, Luni and Urbisaglia are quite gone, Chiusi and Senigallia almost, then you'll see nothing strange to dwell upon. At famous families giving up the ghost, since cities do the same. All your affairs will have their death in time, like you. But this fact is concealed in anything time spares for any span, and our short lives might miss seeing the way it ends. Just as the shores are covered and uncovered by the moon without cease from her heaven, fortune pours its tides on Florence, which are just as soon withdrawn, a flux the living eye ignores, but it occurs. It's not a marvel, then, that I can speak of the great Florentines, whose names are faded now, forgotten men. I could name famous names, but each name means so little now, that once meant power and wealth. Some were already in decline, but some had all the luster, dominance, and health that they had always had. How could they come to nothing? Come they did. Over the gate which bears today such an unheard-of load of perfidy, it's creaking with the weight, and soon must crack up like a bark tight stowed with rotten grain, where now the Cerchi plot their infamies, the Ravignani dwelt. And of their line came all those who were got on daughters of Belinchion. Men knelt, all ready to the Della Presa. From the house of Galigaio shone the gold sword-hilt and pommel, knighthood's burdensome but proud insignia. Noble of old, so long illustrious, they hang their shield in exile now, the Ghibelline old guard. The Pigli coat of green pale and red field was great, and all the bloodlines that die hard, Sacchetti and Fifanti, he unreeled a whole long honor roll, are scattered names by now. But they were all together then. Who now are embers once were living flames? The stock of the Calfucci bred great men. Sizzi and Arigucci, Guelphs, all sat in seats of office. Here I saw them grand, all the Uberti long since fallen flat, because they heeded pride's obsessed demand. Chiaramontesi falsified the sale of salt by short weight. Lordly, rich in land, once they were bold, yet now you see them pale, blushing forever for one foolish hour. The golden balls of the Lamberti shone in Florence when that family had its power, and now the clan of Mosca is all gone into the shadow. I saw the first flower of men whose sons seized every chance to leech on vacant bishoprics and split the take, the Adimari, honeyed in their speech to him with teeth to bite and claws to rake, yet dragons at the back of him that flees, the Adimari, bred to insolence, and on the rise already, did not please Ubertino Donati, whose expense at marriage turned out to include a link of shameful kinship with their paltry stock. The Caponsacchi, come down from the brink of high Fiesole, had doors to lock already near the market. And mark this, Guida and Infangato were esteemed as citizens. And here's one you might miss, unless I told you you would not have dreamed. The inner gate was once named for the line of Della Pera. And where are they now? And Baron Hugh of Tuscany's design of arms was one with which he would endow all of his house since then until today, when still the feast of Thomas signifies his hour of death. The same coat's proud display marks Giano della Bella, who denies the rich the right to crush their underlings and turns his words to action. Just the edge of his shield differs. All the quarterings come down from that one source of patronage. The baron, still the captain of his tomb in the Badia. The Borgo would have stayed quiescent, but the Amidei spelt doom for Buondelmonte, a just price he paid for jilting their dear daughter. But they spread their vengeance further, and so all the tears you weep now sprang from that one watershed when that one house had honor. Many years of civil strife began there. Happiness for you died then, with clans at daggers drawn. Ah, Buondelmonte, if you'd listened less to bad advice and not held vows in scorn and not fled, many men since you first crossed the Ema on your way into town, would now be glad and not in grief be lost if God had pushed you into it to drown. But it was fitting that the wasted stone of Mars that guides the bridge should see one last peace offering, a man cut down alone, before all that the city in the past had known of harmony was torn to bits. It was with all these families and more, I mention only those that time permits, that I saw Florence as she was before, in all her plenitude of joyful calm, her people glorious. Not once in war the lily on her flag had come to harm, turned head to toe to show disgrace and spite, or changed in color. When the Guelphs expelled the Ghibellines, the lily turned from white to red to show the victors held the field. It was our city. What a sight! The flag of daylight changed to fly by night.